75 rushing yards for Knicks tonight. Gives it to Williams, and he burrows his way in for the touchdown.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We'll get into the best and worst of Week 7 in the NFL. You have a lot of time to watch football on Sunday with the Patriots wrapping up, I don't know, noon, 12:30. Maybe they put the finishing touches on Jacksonville earlier than that, Keith.
Unlikely, but...
Maybe.
Yeah, no, maybe. Yeah, I'd leave the door open for that.
Maybe they... Maybe even earlier than that. So what are you going to settle in and watch on the rest of Sunday? Mm-hmm. We'll give you some recommendations here. We will get to our Friday 4-pack coming up about 20 minutes from now. We have the Week in Review at 12:45. And, of course, Keith's Keys at 1 o'clock sharp.
Oh, yeah.
So mark that all down here on a Patriots Friday. We'll also get into your phone calls, all your thoughts on Patriots-Jaguars, your expectations for the game. Would you pick the Patriots to win? Do they need to win? Will Mayo pass the test? And also, what are your expectations for Drake May, who, by the way, not 100%. I don't know if he's 99%. I don't know if he's 75%. I don't know what he is,
right,
but he's not 100%. So what are your expectations in start number two? You can still jump in there. And we will, by the way, tweet out the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Oh, yeah.
At Jones and Keefe. At Keefe21, at Jones WEEI. Sounds like a juicy one.
I think so.
That you can follow along with, including a Drake May anytime touchdown. So, Keefe, there's a lot of good games on Sunday.
Really is. And yeah, a nice little slate.
I don't know, you know, how intentional that is. I don't know how much we lucked into that this week, but it's timed out pretty well. Where do you start for the game you're going to hone in on beyond Patriots and Jaguars once they're all wrapped up? Where do you start? What's the best game of the week?
So the game I love is in the two teams that were in our top tier, which was Matt's 12-leg parlay. That's what we call the top tier this week.
This
after
week.
He crushed a 12-legger for over $4,000.
Yeah, more on that, by the way, in the Week in Review.
Yeah, a lot more on that. The guy won 8 PS5s. But Lions-Vikings, 1 o'clock game on Fox, 4-1 Lions, 5-0 Vikings. People are wondering, like, are the Vikings for real? Are they not? How's Sam Darnold doing this? Kevin O'Connell, probably your favorite for coach of the year right now. And then the Lions didn't lose a lot of games, but they had a slowish start, right? Jared Goff didn't look great early. They've kind of rounded. They're just fresh off a beatdown of the Cowboys. The NFC North right now is the best division in football. These two teams are at the top of said division. I'm excited for this game. I think this one's going to be really good.
Who do you like in that game? Minnesota is a 2.5-point favorite. If you want Detroit on the money line, they're plus 105.
Minnesota. I kind of like
really?
Minnesota. Yeah, I kind of like Minnesota to keep it going a little bit. I wonder if there's a little bit of a letdown after the Lions' crazy game against the Cowboys and, like, blowing out the Cowboys. They seem to they really, really wanted that game. I know this is a division game, but I could see them coming down a little bit to earth after such a big blowout win.
Minnesota also coming off the bye.
Yeah.
That's helpful. I think they're going to have Aaron Jones.
Yep.
He did not practice Wednesday, did practice yesterday, so I think they'll get him back.
Mm-hmm.
He got dinged up in the game in London against the Jets. So that should be a full
That's a good one.
Roster for them.
Who do you like?
So look, I think I would take Detroit on the money line just because there's some juice there, but I get it. With Minnesota coming off the bye week, I think people are just... They're still not fully believing.
And no, definitely
they're not. For a team that's at home, I think Goff has, like, really struggled in his career.
I'm kind of surprised they're favored just because of that. Like, they had that thing, was it a couple years, last year or the year before, where they won a ton of regular season games, and they were still, like, underdogs in so many of them. And then even in the playoffs, they had a home playoff game against the Giants, wasn't it? And they were still an underdog.
Yeah.
And they lost.
Yeah.
Like, eventually Vegas was right on them. Like, eventually they were like, we still don't believe them, we still don't believe them, and then they proved why.
So I do like that game a lot. I think the game of the weekend is still Chiefs and 49ers. And
these teams have faced each other before, it feels like.
I still think it's the game of the weekend, and maybe I'm living in the past. Like, the Niners haven't been great. The Chiefs are 5-0, but they also haven't looked great. They're now just they're losing guys left and right. Like, even Juju, who finally had a good game last week and, you know, is filling in for Rashi Rice, who got hurt. They've lost Pacheco. Even Juju now, I don't know that he's going to play in that game. So you wonder how many guys the Chiefs have at the end of the day. They feel like a fluky 5-0, but at the same time, this is what the Patriots used to do. Super Bowl rematch, 49ers in the Bay Area.
You think they were in on Amari Cooper, the Chiefs? I feel like they should have been.
Yeah, I bet they were.
Yeah.
I bet they were. I don't know how in they were on Devontae, because I bet the Raiders were stupid about it.
Probably just said no. Yeah.
But they should be in on all those guys. You're playing Juju Smith-Schuster, for God's sakes. You should be in on all those guys.
Yeah.
And so I still think that's the game of the weekend.
And if the Chiefs win, and they're actually dogs in this one because the Niners are at home, but if the Niners lose, they'd be under 500 7 weeks into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've had a million injuries, but all right, so what? A lot of teams have injuries.
What do you like in that game?
I like the Chiefs.
Okay. Their money line, this is one where I feel like it might mean more to San Fran than it means to KC.
Yeah, it might.
Now, Reed is awesome coming off a bye week, similar to what Minnesota is doing. At least Minnesota's at home
yeah.
in that game. I feel like the Niners are going to take this game a little more seriously, or again, just what I said earlier, it means more to them because they're the team that lost the Super Bowl. Kansas City's like, we beat
We're
you
rolling.
In the Super Bowl. We don't care. A loss doesn't cost us. The Niners would drop to under 500
yep.
if they lose. Again, they dropped the Super Bowl, so there's a revenge factor there. I just think the game's more important to them, and they probably win.
When do you start talking undefeated season? How many wins do you need? 6-0? Will we talk about it next week, or do you need to be like 8-0?
Well, let's see what's left on their schedule. That's what I'm pulling up here.
Okay, but I think a win at San Francisco, I feel like, would be one of the hurdles. Then they go Raiders, Bucks, Broncos.
How about that Buffalo game? That's week 11, so they would be 6-0, 7-0, 8-0. They'd be 9-0, going to maybe 10-0.
All right, so they beat the Bills and go to 10-0, then we're talking about it.
I think we're probably talking about it even going into that week. Like, if they beat Buffalo, can they go undefeated?
I feel like we're talking about it right now. I think a little bit.
Can they go undefeated?
Yeah, can they? I mean, they don't feel like they would.
They can't.
They really don't, but I'm surprised they're 5-0, to be honest. The other game I love is another 1 o'clock game, Texans at Packers. That should be pretty sweet. The Packers have, they had to play a couple games without Jordan Love. There's something kind of off about it. They're still scoring points. He's throwing a bunch of touchdowns. And going against C.J. Stroud, and we just saw him firsthand last week. But that's 5-1 Houston, 4-2 Green Bay. That's another one that'll be flipping back and forth between that and Lions Vikings.
No, I think the 1 o'clock games are good. You just said it's Detroit, it's Minnesota, it's Houston, it's Green Bay. I think Seattle and Atlanta has shootout potential.
Yeah, could be some points
so
there.
I think that could be an entertaining game.
Two AFC East teams play at 1 as well. The Bills are home against the Titans, which should be a blowout. They're 9-point favorites.
I'm not as interested in that.
And then Dolphins at Colts, which could be a real dumpy game.
No, that Texans game is interesting, too.
Yeah, I like that one.
Because you go, all right, well, we just saw Houston come in and beat the crap out of the Patriots, right? And they've lost Nico Collins. It didn't matter last week against New England, but against a team like Green Bay,
yeah,
in Green Bay, like, that will be a good
the
test for Houston.
Frozen tundra.
And just, I'm interested in Houston.
56 degrees.
I mean, it's not going to be frozen.
No.
I am interested in Houston because I think they're a good model for the Patriots. I said this all last year. We said it going into the game last week. I think the Patriots, if you want to see how quickly it can turn around with a franchise quarterback, Houston's the team.
Oh, yeah.
And so keep an eye on them against Green Bay this weekend. That's another high total, almost 48 points in that game, 47.5. So if you want... If you want shootout potential, if you care about your fantasy matchup, which I'm sure you do.
I do.
Or your bets or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Those are games that should be pretty entertaining. And it's going to be a good weekend, Keith, to take a step back, look at the rest of the league and go, oh, yeah, right. That's how far the Patriots have to go.
Yep.
Like, this is a good weekend.
Well, the 1 o'clock window for red zone will be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
All those good offenses are playing at that same time. So there might be a lot of bouncing around. I also really am intrigued. I think this could be an ugly game, but I think the result is important. Sunday night is Jets Steelers. So the Steelers are somehow 4-2, and it looks like they're switching to Russell Wilson. The Jets are 2-4. They've looked horrible outside of the Patriots game, but they get Devontae Adams. So this is a big swing game, especially if the Jets are trying to chase down a team like the Steelers for one of those wild card spots. They kind of have to win this game.
It's all about what does Rodgers look like with Devontae Adams?
Yeah.
How much does Devontae Adams play? That's a legit defense on the other
Wilson's
side of Pittsburgh.
Too. Like, you're benching a quarterback who was 4-2, and I know he wasn't lighting the world on fire, but it's a good sample in your winning games. And like at this stage of his career, is Russell Wilson a lot better than Justin Fields? I can't imagine. Although Wilson was good last year.
I don't even think he is better.
No, he might not be. But last year he had a bounce back.
He was fine.
I think he was good. And then it was like the contract dispute. Then the next thing you know, he was benched and he was out.
But there's entertainment value on Sunday Night Football. I don't disagree. What's the worst of the weekend? And by the way, did we already see it last night, or are we going to see it early with the Pats and Jaguars?
No. I got one that's going to be worse than that one.
Okay,
it is the Raiders-Rams. Raiders-Rams at 4:05, 2-4 Raiders with Aiden O'Connell, the 1-4 Rams. Cooper Kupp plays, though, in this game. That helps it.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Like, it helps it, but They've been so bad. They've been a hard watch this year.
Colts Dolphins is going to stink too.
Yeah, Colts Dolphins is going to be bad. A bad game.
Patriots Jaguars obviously is bad, but we're all watching
but
that
they
one.
They have the showcase. They have everybody's been watching that one.
Let me give you a sneaky terrible one.
All right.
Bengals and Browns. I don't believe Joe Burrow's won in his career in Cleveland.
Is that right?
I will.
Can't beat the
that
Browns.
That is true.
In the dog pound,
he has not won in the dog pound. Wow. Where they might throw a dome over their new stadium there.
Yeah.
Has not won there. That's going to be an ugly game.
But this is the example of one team is losing but kind of fun to watch, and one team is losing and not at all fun to watch.
Yeah,
and
right.
So, like, what's going to win out here?
Yeah, probably the Bengals.
Will it be a fun game to watch?
Oh,
or will it
no.
be like, will the Browns
no, no,
suck
no.
them down
no,
into
the
this
Browns,
vortex?
No, no,
so.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, the Browns, yeah, are, the yeah. Browns are going to suck them down yeah. into the vortex of
unless
unwatchability.
Unless they bench Watson for Jameis in the middle of the game.
Hell yeah. Then
I don't think they're going to do that.
I'm intrigued. No, they've been telling you how they're going to stick with Watson all over the place, which is just, that can't be a Stefanski decision. Do you think the owner's like,
no,
listen,
it's that's probably above Stefanski. Yeah,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
That's
Jimmy Haslam saying, we're paying him all this money. And it's guaranteed? Yeah. Yeah, no, he's playing. I'm not paying that guy to sit. I'm not doing that.
How happy is Alex Van Pelt? I know he's not in the greatest situation right now, and I know he's getting blamed for a lot of things. But if the alternative was staying in Cleveland and working with Deshaun Watson every day and trying to fix that, this is better than that. Don't you think? At least there's something with Drake May. I think just working with Deshaun Watson anyway would probably be awful.
Drake May gives you a chance to...
Yeah.
Keep your job here, thrive for a year or two, potentially if May's really good, and then launch that into something else. Deshaun Watson's going to kill your career.
Because he got more out of Joe Flacco and who are the other guys that started before they landed on Flacco?
Oh, Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
UCLA, nice.
Yep.
They had a bunch of guys there, and it was...
There was one guy who got a start late in the year I didn't even know about. It wasn't Tim Boyle, but it was like somebody like that.
Spurgeon Wynn. That was the guy from like the years and years ago that started those games.
Yeah.
Flacco, Deshaun Watson, P.J. Walker, DTR, Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll is who I was thinking of. Yeah, sorry, Florida I forgot about P.J. Walker. Yes.
Did he replace Tebow?
That sounds right.
I believe he did. And then
they got rid of Cam Newton. And they're like, we need Jeff Driscoll.
No, Jeff Driscoll's the guy.
Actually, did he replace Tebow twice? Because didn't Driscoll end up in Denver?
Yes. I believe that's correct.
Maybe.
I believe that's correct.
By the way, not that it's Sunday and your football watching slate once the Patriots are done, but you also got two Monday nights this week. It's another one of those.
Double Monday night is
Baltimore,
stupid.
Baltimore-Tampa's a good game.
No, that's
at
a good game.
That one's on TV. The other one isn't.
Wait, what?
It's an ESPN Plus exclusive at 9 o'clock.
Oh, I didn't realize
take
that.
A hike.
Chargers-Cardinals is ESPN Plus exclusive.
I don't even have
exclusive.
That. I don't even, that
Chargers,
doesn't even exist
Cardinals,
in my house.
I got to watch on ESPN Plus. I do have
at
it.
At 9 o'clock.
But I won't go to it.
That's
I won't go
awful.
To it. Like, last night, it's annoying to go from Amazon back to cable. We're a cable household.
It is.
Back to the BC game. Like, that was annoying to me. Or back to baseball or
no,
whatever.
No,
like, that's annoying.
Pain. It's a pain.
But, yeah, I'm not going to.
ESPN Plus?
I didn't realize that was an ESPN
Chargers?
Plus only. Now, if it was Baltimore and Tampa on ESPN Plus, that I'm watching.
You'd have to go there, but then you just leave it on there, probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't flip back to the other
trash
game.
No, Ravens-Bucks Monday night is a good one. The Ravens are flying high, as they say.
As they say. So what are you watching this weekend? We gave you the best and the worst. Patriots are going to be done early. You have a few pints.
Yeah.
You smoke a pack of Parliaments.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're just so drunk you just sleep all night.
Well, yeah, and then wake up for the 4 o'clocks?
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you do
that's
it.
That's the play.
And then you say, honey, I'm out of here. I'm going to the corner store and getting more Parliament lights.
That's right.
Then maybe you come back, maybe you don't.
Meet
who
up
knows?
With the fellas.
Yeah, I'm going to go have some fish and chips with the boys.
Like, no, you're not.
Second round.
You
second round
to do in the house.
Second round of fish and chips.
You're actually going to mow the lawn is what you're going to do. Like, touche.
But it should be a good football slate in week 7. What are you watching? What jumps out to you? You can jump in. 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday. We'll be joined at some point by Patriots Special Teams Coordinator Jeremy Springer. And we have a 4-pack of questions.
Woo!
Patriots.
Yeah.
Jaguars.
Wow.
London.
Yes.
Jones and Keith. It's Patriots Friday here on WEEI. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We'll get into our Friday 4-pack. 4-pack of questions for the Patriots and the Jaguars in London on Sunday. But as we mentioned, it is a Patriots Friday, and we're joined right now by Special Teams Coordinator Jeremy Springer. He's brought to you by Rate. You can visit S-H-A-N-T, Shant, W-E-E-I.com to learn more, and by McFarland Energy, a Lennox Premier dealer. Jeremy Springer, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself? You're in London right now. It's beautiful, about 65, sun's out. It's nice.
How nice. Have you been before? Is this your first trip over there?
First trip for a game. I've been over here a couple times due to personal travel and stuff like that. So I love Europe, so I'm excited to be over here right now.
Do you guys have a chance to do anything over there, or is it pretty much the whole schedule all about football?
All about football.
Yeah.
You know, I think our players will get a little bit of time to go have a, you know, dinner or whatnot probably tonight, but for the most part, we're here, you know, 2 days when you really look at it. So we're locked in, we're here to get a win. And we can always come back to London in the off season in summertime. So we're just here to go get a win.
Well, it sounds like you like to do a lot of traveling. Where is your favorite spot you've traveled to?
Favorite so far? That's a great question. I got two.
Thank you.
I would say Greece. I love the islands out there. Greece is a favorite of mine, and I would say Croatia after that.
Wow.
Southern Europe.
Southern Europe. Yeah, Mediterranean. You're a Mediterranean man. A Mediterranean man is what you are.
Oh, my God. What? I wake up, get a little espresso, lay out in the ocean, just lay, and just the salt takes you away, and it's awesome.
Now, these international games have become a norm, and it seems like every team is doing them. Some teams like Jacksonville do multiple of these trips every year. How much does it break up the regular routine from, like, a normal road trip, or have you guys at this point gotten it to a point where it's pretty similar?
You know what? It's a lot different than a normal week or even a away game because of the time travel. You know, we left last night. We got here in the morning, and basically we got here and we went right to meetings and right to practice. So it's like your sleep time was on the plane. So our players, it's a tough, I would say tough 24 hours once we get here for those guys to kind of get their body right. They got to practice. I would say by tomorrow they'll be back and ready to rock and roll. But it's a totally different because you got to leave, again, 2.5 days early. You got to fly over the country. It's a 5-hour time change. It's a lot for those players. For us coaches, you know, we're just the mental part. So we're ready. For us, it's nothing. But for the players, like they say, it's a lot different.
So no excuses here, but is Jacksonville being there a week early, you think, a pretty big advantage?
Nah, not at all.
Okay.
These guys are professionals. It's a professional. I tell you guys all the time, like, we're professionals, they're professionals, they're here early, but it doesn't matter. You know what, they're in a hotel all week, so you can say they want to be with their families, they want to be with their loved ones, but they're not. So they're probably going a little stir crazy just hanging out in the hotel all day.
Ditch the family, maybe that's an advantage, you never know. One more on London real quick, and then I promise we'll get more to the game. Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, didn't rule out there could one day be a Super Bowl internationally, maybe in London. Would you be on board with that? Would you be okay with that?
I would 100% be on board with that. That'd be awesome. You know, I think the NFL is an international. It's becoming an international game, and the more and more you venture out to these international cities, it's good. It's good for the NFL. It's also good for getting better competition throughout the world, just like basketball, baseball, and things like that. And I think 5-10 years from now, I think you're going to see a lot more guys from Europe and other countries excelling in the sport because it's gone international. So I think it's a good thing.
A couple weeks ago, Joey Sly set a team record with a 63-yard field goal, and I feel like every time I watch a game now, it's 50-yard field goals all the time, 60-yard field goals are going through. Do you have any theory as to why over the last couple of years, 50 and 60-yard field goals are much more the norm than they used to be?
It's just a plain simple fact that these kids are growing up being kickers 24/7. It's become their niche, and it's become something they work on year-round. Whereas, you know, 20, 30 years ago, even 15 years ago, they were not doing that. They were playing the safety or the receiver position. So it's become the norm because they're working around it year-round, and they're becoming better at specialized at that position. So I think that's going to continue to increase throughout the years.
How deep – now, I guess it depends on, wind and, you know, everything else. But
yep.
On a controlled environment, how deep would you guys be willing to attempt a Sly field goal?
For us, I think 65 yards would be the deepest right now.
Wow.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah, that is.
That'll get you to perk up a little bit on your couch.
Yeah, 65. If Joey's feeling good, man, and he's on it, 65 for sure.
Like it. I was just double-checking the number. I think you guys had 6 kick returns last week. I think there have been more and more returns. Like, the number of touchbacks is coming down a little bit week over week.
Yep.
Is that something you'd expect more of as the year goes along, as people get more used to it? Or are you expecting to return more kicks?
100%. I think as the weather changes and as guys are figuring out what you can do on kickoff and how much little you can probably do on kickoff return, you're going to see more guys kicking off because you know that ultimately kickoff is probably going to have the advantage over the kickoff return team at the end of the day. So, yes, I do see that. And look, in our game, too, you know, Houston did a phenomenal job on us. We averaged, like, 23 yards of return. We did not have a good game. And they just kicked it off, and they played football, and they beat us fair and square. But I think you see that around the league a little bit more often. Now, again, a lot of those teams that are covering a lot, they are giving up every now and then a 60, a 50, something like that. But does it trump, you know, you're covering 40 kicks, and out of those 40, you only give up one big one. So you're actually doing a really good job field position-wise.
Jeremy, I'm curious about this as well. I think it's two games now. You guys have started with a penalty on special teams, the opener against Cincinnati, and then last week. I know Jerod Mayo has talked about becoming more disciplined, buttoning some of that up. What are you guys doing to button that up this week?
Yeah, doing something like switching some guys around. Guys that have become more dependable as the season has gone on, they're going to play instead of some other guys. And then also just harping on the little things in practice. When a guy makes a mistake in practice, you know, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing because those little things, you let them get away with it. You know, if I let them get away with it, then that little thing becomes a big thing in a game, like a penalty, like a foolish penalty where they're controllable penalties, penalties that we can control. Like it's 12 on the field or a guy leaving early on a kickoff when the rule doesn't state that. That's first and foremost on me. And then so I got to make sure I'm on those guys a little harder in practice. And then we got to make sure we also hold everybody accountable and put the right guys on the field as well.
Has there been any thought to having Marcus Jones return kicks? Because he's so good at returning punts. He's electric with the ball in his hands. And, you know, I just feel like compared to Jamichael Hasty, he might be a guy that could rip off some big plays.
Yeah, you're right. You know, Marcus is one of those guys that can definitely do it and be good at it. I just think when you look at the play itself and how hard some of those guys are getting hit on kickoff, I mean, there's some real collisions going on around the league. And the last thing I would want is our starting punt returner and our starter on defense to maybe take that one shot to where he's out, you know, hurts his shoulder, hurts the groin or something like that, and he's out for the remainder of the year because of that. You know, whereas I can get somebody in there that's a tough runner, that's a downhill guy, and get us good yardage right there. It's just all about the player safety part of it and how valuable he is on defense, let alone punt return, because punt return is it's just like punt. Those two, punt and punt return, are the most important. You got to have make sure the ball security there is phenomenal, and he has all those attributes where he's that important for us on punt return.
Do you have a favorite kick returner? You know, like a Devin Hester or Dante Hall. Somebody, did you have somebody who you liked watching growing up?
Yeah. Devin Hester was definitely number one. I liked Dwayne Harris. You know, so I was a Cowboys guy growing up. Played for the Cowboys for a little bit. So, yeah, Dwayne Harris was a big fan of mine. I was
a big fan
of his.
You know who I liked on the Cowboys? He wasn't a returner. He's a special teams guy, though. Who was the shark? Was it Kenneth Gantt? Who was that? Where he'd run around with, like, the shark thing before the kickoffs? Yeah, you guys should bring that back.
Yeah, I think
they had Billy Bates too.
Billy Bates. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, he'd cover a kick.
Uh huh.
I haven't heard that name in forever.
Yeah. Bring that back. We need like pre kickoff like guys running around hunting
like
the other
team.
We need to bring that
back.
That's good. Maybe you can do that for us.
We need to move back to the 30. Then we need to move back to the 30-yard line.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point. All right, you got us there. Jeremy Springer, special teams coordinator. Good luck on Sunday. Enjoy the trip to London, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hold it down there in Boston.
All right, thank you.
All right, Jeremy,
good stuff.
Jeremy Springer joining us here on
World's
Patriots
Traveler.
Friday.
Jeremy Springer
loves the Mediterranean.
So, seriously, watching Jermichael Hasty return kicks has made me want to like jump
Keith,
off.
What? Keith, he agrees. He said, "You're right. Let's get 100%. Marcus Jones back there. You don't want him to. You don't want to hurt a groin.
So this might not be
which
out
I
of
agree
his
with. You do not want to hurt a groin.
Oh God, no." You might be out years.
You saw what happened to that guy. You saw what happened to that guy in the Cowboys.
Yeah, he may never be the same.
Sprained a. Yeah. Testicle.
That pole vaulter ran into an issue.
That's true.
So, but that actually makes sense to me. Like, that's clearly the thought process is we feel like with these rules, the returner is going to get destroyed. Or, we don't feel it's not the same as it was before. There's
no,
more
they
likely
get
to get
blown up on those plays.
Yeah. So that's
the returner,
why Jones will do it.
The other 10 guys, or, you know, 11 on the kicking team and the other 10 on offense, or the return team, rather.
But,
they don't get blown up as much, so they're safer, but the returner gets blown up on these.
Do you think if these were the rules 20 years ago, Dante Hall and Devin Hester would still do it?
Would they still do it?
Or would the teams be like, oh, let's just have them do punt? Because those guys were little guys.
But that's all they did. Marcus Jones also plays defense.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Right? I mean, Dante Hall, I guess, was a receiver. What else did Hester do?
Hester was, at one point, they worked him as
a receiver.
No, he was a wide receiver, but like, yeah, didn't do a lot of it. Yeah, I guess that's true. Like Deion Sanders, though, like maybe sparingly.
Maybe you don't put Deion back there. That's
remember
true.
When they used to put like Antonio Brown back to return punts, and you were like, "Uh-oh," because like Brown and
he had one in a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't a touchdown, but it was a long one.
Well, both Antonio Brown and Steve Smith really carved out a niche for themselves early in their career as punt returners, and then they were like, "Oh, wait a minute, they're also the best receivers in the league, so we need to throw them the ball more." But I don't know, because a good return is great. And, like, when you had those stud return guys like Eric Metcalf or Mel Gray.
Oh, Eric Metcalf, yeah.
You know how fast Mel Gray was?
No.
No, you don't.
No,
that's
I
how
don't.
Fast he was.
I forget about it.
Guy was electric.
Ran right through your mind.
Here, Cordell Patterson was like a
yes.
good
oh,
return.
Yes. Good one.
Cordell Patterson and Josh Cribbs were two of the more recent, like, really good return
two
guys.
Great ones.
Yeah.
Two great ones. Josh Cribbs.
Josh Cribbs. But it's funny, remember the Patriots?
Bad ones receivers that were good returners.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Sometimes it's like Desmond Howard. Like, sometimes that's just what you are. But remember when Bill would put LeGarrette Blount back to return kicks, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It must have, and that was before they even changed the rules. But some of it must be both, like, ball security and also take a hit. So that actually makes sense. I'm glad I asked him that. Great question by me. That Jermichael Hasty, but, like, I think it's probably driving a lot of Patriots fans nuts.
Yeah, why is
you're
he
like,
back
why
there?
Is this guy back
what
here?
What does he do?
Cause especially if they're letting him return it. If he's just taking a knee, great. But
he had six returns last week.
Yeah, he has nine total for the season.
Yeah,
it's also Hasty and Polk. It was Hasty and Polk back there last week.
Like, what on earth?
I like how
Polk returned punts in college, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
but
he did. He doesn't seem super elusive to me. Antonio Gibson has returned one. So as a team in the six games, most of them have been just blasted to the end zone.
Yeah.
They've returned 10 as a team, nine by Hasty.
I liked how Springer said they kicked to us. They beat us on the field. They played football. And
no,
so that is what
good.
Houston did. No, look,
he's a good. Yeah, people are right.
Text line likes him. 37937. Dude's a good interview. You should have him more often.
Yep. We'll have him in 3 weeks.
It's funny what happens when people actually decide to play the game and answer the questions.
You're allowed to do that. It is. It's quite a departure.
It is.
You're allowed to answer the questions, and you can even act like a human being if
Twitch,
you want.
Twitch chat like Jeremy Springer as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's great. I don't know what not to like.
All right.
Next week, Alex Van Pelt joins the show. No, for real. I'm just promoting that. Next Friday.
It's a long tease. Next Friday, we'll talk to Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator.
Yep.
For now. And, well, we'll talk to him on Friday.
That's an odd question.
All right. Can't wait for that.
Well, this week he's going to determine how that interview goes. Not that we're like, you know, Woodward and Bernstein. I'm just saying, if Drake May plays well and they look good, then, like, there's a lot of positive stuff to talk about. If they lose to
the
Jaguars
and May turns it over three or four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, maybe he'll just scapegoat May. That's possible.
Maybe we'll get Springer again. They're like, skip. You got to skip. We guys playing Uno? Like, skip.
Yeah. Skip card.
Yeah.
Lifeline. Okay. Lifeline Jeremy Springer. 617-779-7937. Let's get to our four-pack of questions,
four-pack.
Shall we? What do we have first up in the four-pack, Billy? I know we're a touch late. We'll speed through these.
Who off the Jaguars would you want on the Patriots?
You go first.
Okay. I'm gonna check the receiver box this week. I want Brian Thomas Jr. And I feel like he is a future stud receiver in that Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase lineage at LSU. Is he quite what those guys are? Obviously, that's a lofty comparison. He didn't do great last week. I love Brian Thomas Jr. That would be who I would want off the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. I will take Trayvon Walker. He was the number one pick in the draft, maybe in a year where it wasn't super top heavy.
Wasn't great.
But a couple years ago, he was the number one pick in the draft. He had, 10 sacks last year. He's got 5 sacks already this year. So good pass rusher. I usually do go receiver. I do like Brian Thomas, but if it's just any guy off the team, I think he would probably make the biggest impact. So especially now that the defense is kind of a little bit more shaky than it was a few weeks ago when we were answering these questions.
Yeah.
I'll take Trayvon Walker.
Not Mac Jones?
I'm not going to take McCorkle Jones.
That's an option, though.
It is an option. He's on the team. Anybody else you consider? Like, I mean, Travis Etienne's fine. No,
But before the year started, I might have said ETN. That might have been my answer.
Before the season started, I might have said Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, good point.
Like,
me too.
But no way now.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone so poorly. ETN's been hurt and really hasn't been that good. Tank Bigsby's arguably been the better back.
It's right. The other Josh Allen's a good player.
Yep. Sure. Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you could get yourself the wrong Josh Allen, but a Josh Allen
to
on the
go
Patriots.
With the wrong Zach Thomas and the wrong Michael Jordan. He'd fit right in.
That's a good point. He would fit in. What's our second question, Billy?
What Jags jersey, past or present, would you want most?
They got some good ones, but this to me, slam dunk, no brainer, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going that
way. I love Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's one of the most underrated players, I think, ever. He was such a good receiver. Some of those teams were really good, too. Like, when they broke right onto the scene, they were good. Number 82, Jimmy Smith would be my pick.
Okay, Jimmy Smith, great pick. I thought about Keenan McCardell, but I'm not going with that. Mark Brunell, Tony Bissett, like, good team, fun team.
Yep.
I thought about Fred Taylor, not going with Fred Taylor.
No.
Also a Patriot, briefly.
Yes.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Oh, yeah, MJD.
Well, you got the Jones right in the name. Good so point. That works for me.
Selfish.
Yep, it is a bit selfish, but you know, when you get some Keefs, come talk to me.
Adam Keefe from Utah Jazz.
Oh, that's true. It's a basketball jersey.
Long lost brother.
Yeah.
Sheldon Keefe, fired head coach. Is a
good one. Sheldon Keefe. Good point. Yeah. In my face.
It was not a great run for the Keefs.
Mojo.
Mojo's
a good one. I like Maurice Jones-Drew. You might forget how good he was. He was flash in the pan.
Oh, he was awesome.
And he was just to talk about a little bit of a guy?
I'll say more than a flash.
Yeah, but it was quick. It was a brief peak, right. I want to say.
How many 1,000-yard seasons
five.
Do you think Mojo Jones had?
Four or five.
Oh, he had three.
Okay.
He led the league in rushing one of those years.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
1,600 yards.
And he was like a little fire hydrant of a guy. He'd get you a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
He'd punch it in.
Dude, his rookie year, he had 13 rushing touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns.
Nice.
He was second in rookie of the year. He was all pro one year.
There
he
you
had
go.
Nice.
That's what I'm saying.
Very nice career.
Yeah, right. Nice career. He still, I think, is in the media.
He is. So I think he does. Horrible at it.
Yeah, he's not good. Who are we to judge?
No,
okay.
I mean, listen, takes one to know one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm okay with some bad media. No, what's the problem there? So,
Billy and Nick, you guys have a jersey for the Jags?
Yeah, I'd go with Keenan McCardell. Yeah. Just because I like that older Jags jersey that was kind of ugly.
So this was my problem, actually, with going with Mojo. If you get like those 90s, you get a better jersey.
You
that's
do.
True.
You
those teal Maurice Jones-Drew jerseys, though, are sweet.
Nice. The worst jersey ever was the one that looked like it was like a combination between like booger, puke, and feces. It was like,
the color rush.
Yeah,
it was the color rush.
And then they had the double helmet where it was two different colors.
The ombre helmet where it was like two, yeah, it was like a fading color in the other one.
It was the most disgusting jersey.
It was a tough jersey.
And I just think of like Blake Bortles
to Allen Robinson.
Jalen Ramsey would be a good one for people like the younger demo. Good job by Terp. Look at those. Like, what color would you call
that? Isn't that the pant color that the Saints were wearing last night? That's like what their pants were. That's like the same mustard puke.
I feel like it looks worse in the wild than in that
That's
photo.
A baby diarrhea color is what that
is. Yeah, it is.
That's a baby diarrhea.
You're like, oh, we fed him something wrong.
Right, we're like,
Have, whatever he got into, he shouldn't have gotten into that.
Yeah, the baby diarrhea.
But look how dumb the helmet is. So you see the one player has a black helmet on the front, then you turn around and it's gold.
It's ombre.
I did kind of like that, I'm not going to lie.
I hated it.
Do you think the two-tone would be better if it was different colors?
Maybe, yes.
I still say no. I don't want any two-tone colors. And frankly, I'm insulted that Nick likes it.
look
how gross
you
that
like
is
that?
On Nick on the
No, I don't like
chat.
The jerseys. I kind of like the helmet.
Talking about the helmet. You like that?
They wore that in front of millions of people.
I can live with the helmets.
But like, how sick would it be, though, if the Ravens did that?
Just black because they look so fast.
But it would look better with different colors, I'll grant you that. Would it look good? Probably not.
No,
but it would look better than that. That's horrendous.
Honest question. Can you show the helmet again, Terp? Honest question. The Jacksonville Jaguar that is on the helmet.
Roba says the helmet's not terrible. Those are terrible.
Do you think the Jaguar prior to that photo is eating blue Airheads? Is there a chance the Jaguar was just
Muscle
like
of Jolly Ranchers?
Jolly Ranchers and Airheads.
Why is the tongue blue?
No, it's like a
tongue's blue.
Like a blow pop. Look at that. Yeah, what were you eating?
Big wild cat.
Right, that looks goes with like their regular
I bet it's
jerseys.
Sick.
Lucas,
I bet something's wrong with it.
Lucas comes home from a birthday party, you're like, what did they feed you with this thing?
Yeah.
Metallic blue mouth. You're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What happened at school?
Hey, Dad, is my tongue blue?
Yeah, dude.
No, it is.
It for sure
so
is.
So are your teeth and your whole face.
Yeah.
Eyes are blue, too. You think he's putting it in there, like, in the eyes? It's an unhealthy Jaguar on the cover of that.
7-Eleven Slurpee is what they're saying. That might have been what it was eating.
Yeah, you got the blue raspberry? Yeah. I'm a giant cat. That's what I like to eat.
Blue ras guy?
Lack of oxygen in the blood and eczema can cause a blue tongue.
Wow. Thank you, Bill. Wow. So that's a sick Jaguar on their helmet. That's a well put together.
Well, that makes
sense.
Well,
Nick likes it. Nick likes that,
Nick's
though.
Like,
dying ombre Jaguars helmet, Nick likes.
Oh, hopefully they wear them tomorrow.
So does Roba in the Twitch chat.
Roba in the Twitch chat likes those uniforms?
I said they're not bad.
Come on.
Is it my first choice for a helmet? No. But if they had them, I'm not going to be upset about them.
These two are weirdly obsessed with uniforms.
Yeah.
Not incorrect.
Oh, I mean, you can call it weird if you want, but I am obsessed with uniforms.
Bengals black to orange would be good.
Yeah, see?
Maybe.
See? That's probably true.
But then, like, the uniform itself lends to that, too, because they have, like, the Bengal tiger print also on there.
Yeah, that camo. That's what Tigers call that.
There's some good unis.
They call them stripes.
Also some bad ones.
Well, no, to a tie, we call them stripes. Tigers call that camouflage.
Dill Pickle thinks the Jaguars drinking Mountain Dew Voltage.
Could be that. Yeah.
I don't know if that turns your mouth. Maybe a little bit. The Airhead really like paints the mouth.
does.
Like an icy from a convenience store.
A
blue.
Oh, the icy does. Yeah, yeah. The icy definitely does.
I think where the hell
two
am
more?
Three?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Will the Jaguars have the number one pick in the 2025
yes.
draft?
Yes.
I think yes.
They're worse than the Patriots.
Because I got the Patriots winning this weekend, so that is a massive swing game in the race to number one.
And even if the Jaguars beat the Patriots, I still think the Jaguars are going to have pick number one because they're going to fall. There's a chance the Patriots get better as the year goes along. This team's going to fall apart.
Their
coach is going to get fired. They're going
to
get worse.
Mac. Yeah. They have two games remaining with Tennessee. Those are big games.
Split those.
Carolina? How many more games does Carolina win?
Okay, that might be a Jaguars win.
No, they don't play each other. I'm just saying, they have the same record right now.
Oh, right. Am I missing? I think Dalton still makes them competitive enough to win more than Jacksonville.
But Jacksonville, after the Pats game, goes Green Bay, Philly, Minnesota, Detroit, Houston.
Peterson gets fired.
Those are all losses.
Yeah,
those are all
right,
losses.
Right. Peterson gets fired if they lose this game.
I think they have the number one pick.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, me too.
What is your first thought when you hear Jacksonville?
I bet we have the same one.
The AFC championship game from 96.
When the lights went out?
Yeah.
100% the same exact one. Yeah. That's exactly what
I think. They were in the league for 2 years, and them and the Panthers both made the conference championship games.
Yep.
It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And like how good they were quickly. It was like the Vegas Golden Knights. Like right away, Mark Brunell, those receivers we were talking about, and boom, they're playing in the AFC title game. But he never really took them seriously. They've made the playoffs like a handful of times.
The reason the Patriots made that Super Bowl is because the Patriots would have got stomped by Denver. Stomped by that Denver team. Mm. That's when Shannon Sharp was calling the president.
We're calling
him the National Guard.
Yeah,
we're killing the Patriots. Which is what I don't know if he called the National Guard when he was caught going live on Instagram.
Somehow, some way went live.
But he was killing something there. So that Broncos team had the Patriots numbers. Look at this poor guy.
I'll get it in.
So the only reason the Patriots made the Super Bowl and had the privilege to lose to Brett Favre in that Super Bowl is because Jacksonville took out Denver.
Yeah. But those early Jaguars teams, because we were in elementary school when the NFL's like, we got two new teams. You're like, what?
Cool.
The heck?
Jacksonville.
You're like, these guys aren't in Super Tecmo Bowl. I don't want to play with these
Why
teams.
Why did the lights go out? What was that? Did Kraft turn the lights off? What happened? Somebody tripped on a switch or
something?
Forgot to pay his electric bill? I was too young. I don't realize why the lights went out for that game.
I'm sure there's an oral history of it somewhere.
Yeah, it's true. You want to read 5,000 words on it, go to The Athletic. I'm with you. I assumed we were going to have the same thought. Children of a certain age, that's got to be what you associate with the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's our Friday 4-pack. And our requisite uniform talk
That's
for
good
the week
stuff.
Here on Jones and Keith.
There will be more.
Expect more of that. And we also had some pretty competitive, very entertaining games in the baseball playoffs.
Huh?
What?
Say what?
We have some thoughts on that next.
Oh my goodness! Big Christmas has tied it! The ultimate present under the tree!
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes. How about that? A walk-off two-run home run to the bleachers in left by David Fry.
We'll get back to Patriots and Jags. We've gotten some good suggestions about what you think of when you think Jacksonville. Some good former Jaguars as well. But that game last night, that was a fun game. Wait,
baseball was real fun. Do you know how fun it could be to be playing baseball in October and have those kind of moments where somebody like David Fry comes out of nowhere? That's a blast. October baseball's a blast.
Who the hell's Big Christmas? I never heard of this guy
Big
last night.
Christmas!
That home run was awesome.
John Kenzie Noel, I think. Yeah.
John Kenzie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So neither guy that homered late in the game for the Guardians was in the lineup originally for the Guardians.
Oh my goodness!
Big Christmas!
Christmas has tied it!
Big Christmas.
Yeah.
Awesome nickname.
Tremendous nickname. Although, Keith,
what?
In 2024, Big Holiday.
Oh,
Big Holiday is what you could call it.
Did you call it Big Holiday?
Yeah, no, that's what you call
it. No, his last name's Noel, though. Noel.
Yeah, but.
And that's not.
It's not
can't
holiday.
Say, can't tell anyone Merry Christmas these days. No, never mind say Big Christmas. You can't do that.
Have a day.
Yeah.
Have a day. Big Christmas. Yeah, because you're insulting him by suggesting he's big and not, you know.
Well, that's true, too, and you're so fat, and you're fat shaming. That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
He is. He's 250 pounds.
You know what? Hurtful nickname. Yeah. Never even thought about that. Cancel that broadcaster.
Fat holiday.
Cancel TBS right now.
You know what? Give me that guy's job. I want his head on a platter. Give me his job.
Actually, we just stumbled into a great nickname.
Yeah.
And, like, because he had Matt Holiday.
Yep.
Now he's Fat Holiday.
I like Big Christmas.
I like Big Christmas.
Oh my goodness! You know Big Christmas has tied it!
More I think about
Andy
it.
He brought the Lord's name into it.
Can't last.
Goodness.
Cancel that guy.
And so
next, Tom Brenneman. That was a fun game. Like, honestly, those were fun games last night. Mookie Betts went nuts in the NLCS.
Yes.
The Yankees lose, which I need Red Sox fans to pick. Do we not care what the Yankees do, or are we rooting against the Yankees? Like, you better pick. Like, I don't care. I'm indifferent. No. Doesn't matter. Why does it matter? And then they lose, and it's like, yeah, the Yankees lost. Like, you got to pick.
But it's tough because I think overall for the team, you think if the Yankees win, then that should send a message to the Red Sox, but there's no guarantee. But in the moment, it's hard to root for them. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're not paying attention to the game and you just want the outcome to be them winning.
Yeah.
But then when you're watching last night, you're like, Yankees lose. So that was the other thing is Judge and Stanton go back to back in the eighth inning, and you're wondering, all right, is Judge a bad playoff performer? All this other stuff.
No, Judge ties the game. Stanton puts him in front.
Yeah, so they both sock dingers, and you're like, oh my God, they're going to win. They do this real late, and pretty amazing. And off the Indians closer, Guardians closer, forgive me. He's he was like in the Cy Young mix this year.
Oh, he's
been a little rocky in the playoffs.
I mean, he was incredible in the regular season, but yeah, he's fallen apart. And so, look, I guess, and I am not watching a ton of October baseball, but
you are missing out, friend.
Supposedly, I saw a tweet from Alex Spear last night. I should have had this at the ready.
Yeah,
but it was something like it was the third home run of the postseason.
Nice.
Where not total. Where the team?
Out of the game I love.
Where my baseball gone? There have now been three home runs this postseason. Pete Alonso, which is an awesome home run.
Yeah.
Mark Vientos. So those are both for the Mets. And then big holiday there. Average size holiday. In the ninth inning or later that turned a deficit into a tie game or a lead. So like
big Christmas!
That was incredible. Tenth inning, bottom tenth.
Big home runs. Well, no, Fry was in the extras, right?
No,
John Kenzie was in the ninth.
Noel's was in the tenth. Fry's was in the ninth.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, no, sorry. No, flip it. My bad. Fry had the walk-off.
Big Noel tied it.
Christmas tied it. My bad.
Big Christmas.
Fry walked it off.
Yeah, you're
right.
Big Christmas has tied it!
Thank you. Oh, yeah, right. It's right there in the call.
Yes, it is right there. That's true.
My bad.
That's tied with 1986 for the most in a single postseason.
And we all remember 86.
We sure do.
Maybe not all that fondly.
And so, look, you're getting yourself some quality games. You have a rooting interest, I think, in the Yankees, but my sense is most of you don't care, or at least we're pretending not to, until they lost last night. Mookie Betts, by the way, four hits. He hasn't been the greatest postseason performer in his career.
And Ohtani both homered yesterday. Betts, Ohtani, Judge, and then you get these guys off the bench to hit these heroic home runs for the Guardians. It's been great. And it's just, it's a reminder of, like, what has been and maybe what could be again soon. Like, I know that the regular season is a grind, but it's all worth it with these big moments in October.
The thing is, it's hard for me to watch neutral baseball, which is why the Yankees are sort of the entry point, because it's not really neutral. It's hard for me to watch neutral site baseball even in the playoffs, even in October. But you are reminded of, like, the drama and the intensity of those games, and you do miss that. And the Red Sox are robbed of that when they're not playing. But, yeah, it was the big stars out last night, that's for sure. Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge.
But it is
John Kenzie, Noel.
No, but then also as a Red Sox fan, you're sitting there, Mookie Betts is an obvious one. But then, not that I want all these guys, I'm just saying you have J.D. Martinez is playing in this. You have Alex Verdugo is playing in this. Kike Hernandez is playing in this. Ryan Brazier started a game the other day, and you're like, wait, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, all these guys still playing.
It's true. So if you got thoughts on the AL and NLCS, you can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots and the Jaguars on a Patriots Friday. What are your expectations for Drake May in start number two, especially given that he is, it sounds like, not 100%. We'll get to it next.